Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Happy June. June 1st. Do I want to be that guy? I've said before, all the years I've worked in this industry, one of the things that kind of irks me, it's not like something I lose sleep over, but it's the people, the broadcasters that go out on the airwaves and say, what happened to insert month here? Or where does the time go? Like, you can say that, it's fine. Time always flies, especially when you're having fun. How you doing? Spencer at Sports for a June 1st, Thursday edition of the show. Kicking off 4 hours of local programming here on KGYM. Four straight hours of sports talk, local sports talk, that is, which comes your way every day from 2 until 6 right here on all of our frequencies, 1600 AM, 102.3 and 106.3 on the FM dial in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, respectively. Also find us streaming at KGYMradio.com, available on our free-to-download app. Grab it from your app store, Google Play or the Apple App Store. Search KGYM. Make sure it's the right app. I'm sure there are probably some imitators out there, some other weird radio apps that you might think takes you to our content, but it's not really our content. So be sure you're not downloading something that's not good for your phone or good for your wallet. Don't want to get you to get scammed out of stuff trying to find our app, but download it today. You can fire up the stream that way, and also available on your smart speaker. Lots to get to on this afternoon's show with you till 3 o'clock per usual. Get to the NBA finals for tonight. That has our poll question at KGYMradio.com asking you, how long will the finals go? Is it going to be 4? Is it going to be 5 games? Is it going to be 6 games, or will it go a full 7 games? I think Isaac and I kind of made our predictions already. We'll see if we've changed our minds in the 48 hours or so since we figured out who the matchup is going to be in the NBA Finals. We'll get your thoughts coming up in just a little bit. I will get to that story I promised yesterday. We only had like 2 minutes at the end of the show, but the referee in the NBA being investigated for possibly having a burner Twitter account, a second Twitter account in which he's essentially allegedly defending himself and calls he's made while officiating NBA games. We'll get to that. He is in the news. That situation is in the news even more so today because the guy's not going to be refereeing the NBA Finals, which is kind of big news, especially for an experienced referee in the NBA circles. So talk about that along with a preview of tonight's Game 1, which you can hear right here on KGYM coming up in just a little bit. Got some baseball games going on this afternoon. The Brewers are playing, but we don't need to talk about that game. The Mets and the Phillies in action right now. Also the Padres and the Marlins among the daytime games today. We'll get into that here before 3 o'clock. College softball World Series. Women's College World Series going on right now from Oklahoma City. One game in the books already. Tennessee. In an all-SEC battle, Tennessee beat Alabama 10-5 in the opening game today. About to start here momentarily. Oklahoma, the number one team in the country, taking on the Stanford Cardinal. Oklahoma 56-1 entering the NCAA softball tournament at the D1 level. We'll keep you up to date on those scores as well. Also, interesting stuff if we get some time. The saga between the partner company that owns the Bally Sports TV networks, there's a bankruptcy hearing going on. As you know, Diamond Sports has filed for bankruptcy. There is some question whether they will continue to operate, period, as a company, and what that means for TV coverage of your favorite major league teams. There are 14 teams that are under the umbrella of Diamond Sports, and San Diego Padres were the latest to free themselves, I guess, kind of how you'd put it, with Bally Sports. We'll see if we get some time to cover that before 3 o'clock here today. 319-366-1600. Isaac, I said to you as I walked into the studio, producer Isaac along for the ride, I don't Don't think we're going to have any Pop-Tarts debates today, but I did put a call out on Twitter at SW on the radio for anybody who had any other bold food takes to share them. And we got no takers, so I guess that might be lucky for, well, A, the listeners who got tired of us talking about Pop-Tarts and eventually Oreos yesterday. But just, we don't have to, I guess we're free and clear today.
I honestly
to talk about sports.
I honestly did not know that me liking the brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tart was such a hot take. I thought that was like a normal thing that a lot of people liked, but I guess not. It was news to me.
Well, there were, you had plenty of defenders. There were a few of the others that came in on Twitter after the fact, but within the offices, though, right? You, me and Todd are, no, it's wrong. It's not a flavor. How can you enjoy that? But you're holding strong. You're carrying the flag for it.
Yeah, and now it makes me wonder if these other snack things that I do or things that I like are now considered like bold takes. I've been operating under the assumption that I am the normal here.
See, you just opened a can of worms. You got to give us at least one take, one food take.
I'm putting you
on the spot right now.
I can't
see
think of any
said,
off the
like,
top of my head.
Okay, how about this? This is a controversial one. This will get the text line going, 319-366-1600. Pineapple on pizza.
Absolutely not.
Okay, you and I
no chance.
On the same page.
It's not like awful or anything, but it just feels wrong, I guess, is the best way to describe it. Like, I've had it, and it's like, it's okay, but it just feels incorrect.
It's not great.
Yeah, I would not prefer to
not
have it on there.
Top five pizza topping
probably
of all time.
Probably bottom five.
Yeah. I agree. Okay, so we're on the same wavelength there. See, that's not a bold take, at least for me, but for some out there who like their Hawaiian pizza, their pineapple on their pizza, it might be. So there, daily food take from producer Isaac. I think that might be something we come back to here on the program. 319-366-1600. Getting ready for the Iowa baseball contest tomorrow. We'll dive a little bit more into the regional. Spent some time the first couple days this week on that. But some big news as we start local here on the program today and actually get into sports talk. That's what you come here for, right? News, and this was anticipated from the University of Iowa, in case you missed it earlier today. This goes back to last week when Gary Barta, current athletic director at the university, announced he is going to retire. That announcement coming right going into the holiday weekend on Friday, May 26th, and making that announcement, he is set to retire after 17 years leading the Iowa Athletics Department. A lot of speculation, and there was news that came out with the Gary Barta retirement announcement that the university would name an interim athletic director this week, so after the holiday. And that news did come out today, and it's a name that a lot of us pointed to, a lot of folks out there pointed to. Beth Goetz, the current deputy director of athletics and the chief operating officer for the university, has been named the interim athletic director, replacing Gary Barta. It does not get effective until August 1st, so you have two more months before that transition happens. But the name that a lot of folks pointed to, saying, hey, she's in the office right now, she came to the university last season to be that position, the deputy director of athletics and the COO for the University of Iowa, that name has now been elevated, at least to that interim role, again, effective August 1st. Of course, Goetz coming to Iowa last year, in case you did not know about her credentials, was the athletic director at Ball State University in Indiana from the Mid-American Conference, joined the athletic staff in Iowa City last September. So she's not been here a year yet, but joining here after a run at Ball State University. Also has experience working at UConn and was the deputy AD in the Big Ten at the University of Minnesota. Also had a similar kind of role as the interim athletic director during the 2015-16 season at the University of Minnesota. So plenty of experience working as an athletic director, being the head person, working as an administrator in college athletics, both at UConn and then at the University of Minnesota. and now will be the interim director of athletics going forward, again, effective August 1st, which is the official retirement date for the current AD, Gary Barta, who is stepping down after 17 years at the university. So the move that a lot of us anticipated, I'm curious to know what you think. Right move by the university? I think it's the smart move, considering she's right there. She has the experience. She's ready to go, and essentially a seamless transition. But I'm curious to know your thoughts about Beth Goetz being named the interim director of athletics for the university starting August 1st. You can chime in at 319-366-1600. Interesting to note, too, you look at the release from the university with this. Pardon me. And one thing that kind of stands out when you read the information here about this transition that's taking place and this interim opportunity for Goetz is that a national search is planned. So I think we all assumed there would probably be some verbiage about a national search. You see that whenever there's a coaching search or even athletic director's search or some top official search with any university. Doesn't have to necessarily be the University of Iowa, but there is going to be a national search for a permanent replacement for Gary Barta, but it's not starting immediately. It's planned for sometime in early 2024. So you have to, if you can, you can connect the dots here, sure sounds like the university is going to give Beth Goetz every chance to show what she's got, show what she can do at the top level position. And it sure sounds to me like at least she's the front runner. Don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, obviously. You know, probably still have to go through a hiring process. In fact, her appointment to be the interim AD still has to be approved by the State Board of Regents. Would assume that would happen. We'll see. Have to assume that she's being given every chance to win that job, to earn that job, to show the university what she can do at the Big Ten level as the head person and show what she has planned for the University of Iowa, kind of a trial run, if you will. So that's certainly something interesting to take away from the announcement that that came out earlier today that Goetz has been named, officially named the interim athletic director at the university, again, starting August 1st after Gary Barta's retirement. Certainly, you know, again, in the short term, smart move. I think there are a lot of people who think that in the long term, it's probably the right move to maybe take off the interim tag and make her the full-time AD. Certainly going to be given every chance to get that job if she so wants it with the opportunity here. Again, starting August 1st, no specific language as to when that national search might take place for Gary Barta's replacement. But the press release does say it is planned for sometime in early 2024. So she's going to get basically the whole first semester of the fall sports season and even some time before, obviously, to build upon the work she's already done as the deputy director of athletics and the chief operating officer here since she's been in that role since 2022. So that's the big news out of Iowa City today with the Iowa athletics department with Goetz getting that interim tag, the interim athletics director, again, effective August 1st. 319-366-1600 at 218. Again, continue to follow the college baseball world, or the not the World Series just yet. That's a couple weeks away, but the regional tournament coming up here this coming weekend. Iowa will take on North Carolina tomorrow night. Keep you posted on all of that content coming up on tomorrow's show and get you a little preview of that. The tournament will be underway. Remember, Indiana State takes on Wright State for the first game of the day. That'll be a noon Central Time start. Everything's a little bit not messed up, but have to think Eastern Time to Central Time conversion with that. But Indiana State will play Wright State for the first game of the day. Got a big break or a sizable break in between. 2.5-3 hour break. Of course, have to hope the weather is good. I would assume it's going to be for Indiana and Terre Haute. with Indiana State hosting that that regional, but Iowa and North Carolina will get started at 6 tomorrow night. We'll hear a little bit from head coach Rick Heller, a little bit more from him. We heard some of his initial thoughts in the matchup yesterday and working on some stuff with him for tomorrow here as we preview the regional. Iowa looking to get into the weekend, score a win over a pretty solid North Carolina team who, as we talked about, is going to be without one of their best players, one of their outfielders, star outfielders, out for the weekend with a lower back injury. Hate to see that. You want to see all the teams, obviously, at full strength, but certainly North Carolina, formidable foe coming in. 14-14 conference record, but still a pretty solid team, a team that definitely has some tournament experience going forward. 319-366-1600, talk or text line wide open for you here today. Lots to get to before 3 o'clock. Let's take our first break of the show, and we'll talk some NBA, get a little preview of the NBA Finals. I don't think my prediction has changed. My prediction for the NBA Finals, how things are going to go. We'll chat about that, take a look at some of the key matchups, and hear from the head coaches, Michael Malone, Eric Spoelstra, both sitting down with ESPN Radio ahead of their national coverage tonight. We'll play you some of their comments, their thoughts as the finals get underway tonight from Denver. That's coming up on the other side of this timeout. It's Spencer on Sports with you for a Thursday on the Gym.
Get ready for outdoor cookouts with hot deals at Menards. Check out the special buy in 5 packs of Clemens Bratwursts. Just $2.89 after 11% off. Hurry, good while supplies last. Choose from assorted flavors of 16-ounce Bush's baked beans. Only $1.69 after rebate. And don't forget, a 24-pack of Sprecher Craft Root Beer 16-ounce bottles is just $15.99 after rebate. Good through June 4th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
The Earth is a big ball of energy. ENJ Geothermal wants to help you tap into it. Spring is an ideal time to have ENJ install a geothermal system to heat and cool your home. An energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system from ENJ Geothermal saves money on your energy bills, sure. But right now, you'll save even more with the extended federal and state geothermal tax credits. The folks at ENJ Geothermal would be happy to tell you all about it. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
KGYM is an equal opportunity employer. And under FCC rules, any community organization that distributes information about employment opportunities or refers people to employers may ask to be notified about job vacancies at KGYM. If your organization would like notification of KGYM's job vacancies, contact Julie Hine. Email julie at kzia.com or write her at 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
I get 223, Spencer at Sports, on this first day of June of 2023. 319-366-1600, Oklahoma and Stanford underway at the Women's College World Series. Oklahoma, like I mentioned, top of the show, 56-1, the overwhelming favorite to claim the crown of the Women's College World Series. Stanford, two runners on here in the first inning. Top half of the first. Stanford looking to do some damage here early on. See if Sooners can get out of it, and they just did. Keep you up to date on those games here. And Major League Baseball as well. Light day today on the schedule. A few regional teams in action. Talk about that before 3 o'clock. NBA Finals starting up tonight. Denver Nuggets and the Miami Heat. Again, our poll question at KGYMradio.com. From our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, how long will the NBA Finals go? We gave you the gamut of the options. Is it going to be a sweep? Is it going to be a gentleman's sweep? 5 games, so a 4-1 series win. Is it going 6, or do you think it's going 7? What do you think? You can vote at KGYMradio.com. Early leader in the clubhouse, including the vote, Isaac, I just put down on the poll question. Yes, I vote on them because I like to weigh in with my thoughts. Gentlemen's sweep, five games. And you and I both said it earlier this week, Nuggets in five. Have you wavered from Nuggets in five at all since the matchup was determined?
No, I think I've been going back and forth on five or six, and I think five seems right. I want it to be five if the Nuggets win it, or seven, just because I want them to win it on their home court.
Right.
Because I think we talked about how it's kind of lame. The energy's kind of dead when you win it on the road, and it's not as exciting. So I think Nuggets in five. It is a little scary that that seems to be what everyone thinks.
Yes.
So
I would agree.
that gives me a little cause for pause, but yeah, I think five feels right.
Five certainly does feel right. I am right there with you, though. I heard you and Todd talking the other day, too. I think you all kind of said Nuggets in five. I think everybody here, I'm not sure about Scott and Mark. I haven't asked them specifically on the gym class, but we all kind of had some sort of thought of Nuggets in five, and that the alarm bells are going off in my head right now.
Yeah, it seems so wrong that we're all like, yeah, Nuggets in five sounds just about right. I think Scott said Nuggets in five too,
okay.
So
right.
I could be wrong on that. Maybe he'll come in and correct me on there. It just feels like a five game series. I don't want to discredit the Heat and say it's going to be a sweep. I think they can get at least one game. It's just, I mean, the big factor is how do you stop Jokic? It's like there's just no clear way to stop him with who the Heat have available. You know, Bam's a good defender, but Jokic is big and like strong, and you know, they play a 2-3 zone, which kind of favors how Jokic wants to play, where you can pass it out to the open shooters and things like that. I just don't see how they deal with him at all. There's no clear path for me.
Yeah, I think the Heat are going to get a game. Maybe it's game one. I don't know. The one of the big storylines we'll hear from Michael Malone here momentarily is the time off. Nuggets have had 7 days extra rest than Miami's had going into this series. And you know, it doesn't matter. You know, there's the rest part of it, right? But there's also rust that could be a part of it, too. They haven't played since last Monday when they finished off that sweep of the Lakers. Obviously, they've had more time to recover, to condition, to do, you know, drills and practice. But they didn't know that they were playing Miami until Monday night. So it's been kind of a weird week for them.
Yeah, and I understand that as well, where, you know, I think the beginning of the game might just be kind of bad for them. I think I could see them losing the first quarter, where they come out and they just aren't prepared for, particularly the Heat, who play super physical, like really intense sort of basketball, kind of, I don't want to put it like this, but like ugly basketball, I guess is maybe how you can sort of put it. So I could see them struggling in the first quarter, but that team is so good. Michael Malone is so good at making adjustments for his team. Obviously, during the Lakers series, you know, at the end of the fourth quarter, we saw like Rui Hachimura get put on Jokic and having AD as like the help defense to come over and block him there. And Nuggets adapted to that really well, asking, you know, Murray to handle the ball more, putting Aaron Gordon in like high pick and rolls to pull AD out of the paint, stuff like that. So I could see them struggling in the first quarter or the first half, but then Michael Malone will, you know, write something up and be able to adjust. And same thing with Eric Spoelstra. I don't want to like discredit him. He's obviously best coach. I think clearly the best coach in the league is fair to say.
Yeah.
But they're offensively, they're just so good at making adjustments and making that offense work given the defense that they're facing.
And we've seen Jamal Murray, especially in that Lakers series. He had some huge fourth quarters in that series. Even when, you know, Nikola Jokic has been kind of slowed up, when teams have been able to maybe do that just a little bit, he's found a way. He's hit some bonkers three-pointers, especially in that Lakers series. You're like, wait, why did he do that? Come on, man, that's totally unfair. But it's certainly going to be interesting. You have two really of the hottest players in the league right now in Jokic and Jimmy Butler, the two biggest stars left, obviously, on the stage because they're the leaders of their team. But that rest thing is certainly interesting looking at this. I was looking at ESPN stats and info this morning, and they had this little nugget here, and use this how you will, but teams coming off a sweep, as the Nuggets are 5-2 in game one of the finals. Teams coming off a sweep are 4-3 overall in the series. So a little bit better in game one than they are in the series, but still above 500. When it comes to the rest that we mentioned, teams with at least 7 days of extra rest, 4-1 in game one. So maybe that bodes well for Denver. They are playing at home. There's the whole altitude factor, too. Miami flew right to Denver after the game. There were a lot of people kind of trolling the Heat when that news came out after, or right before, I should say, game seven on Monday, saying, oh, they're going to have to divert that flight back to South Beach. Well, they didn't. They had to fly out there and got the extra opportunity to be in Denver and adjust. But we'll see how, going from, obviously they practiced, they watched film, they scouted and stuff like that, but going from that level to, the playing level, playing the game, playing the basketball game, game one of the finals tonight, how much that means. Here's what Michael Malone had to say. It's been, a long time since we've seen Denver on the court. They finished off that sweep last week of the LA Lakers. We got some extra basketball in the Eastern Conference Finals. How do the Nuggets handle it, Coach Malone?
We used the first couple of days to give our guys some rest, but I have to give our players a tremendous amount of credit. These guys, not knowing who we were playing until the other night, have been locked in, focused. We really try to emphasize staying in shape, our conditioning, trying to keep a rhythm as best as possible without playing games, and just staying connected. And then last 2 days, when finally knew who we were going to play, our guys have even been that much more locked in. But you'd love to go right from sweeping the Lakers to playing game one. That wasn't the case, and you can't change that. But working, staying together, and understanding that this is going to be the biggest challenge of our NBA lives starting tomorrow night, I think all of our guys are ready to go.
Head coach Michael Malone of the Denver Nuggets there. Isaac and I briefly talked about it with the two stars, Nikola Jokic and Jimmy Butler. Both are challenges to defend, and both head coaches weighed in about how they defend the opposing team star player. Sticking with Michael Malone first, here he is talking about his defensive plans for Jimmy Buckets, who's had one heck of a postseason.
Well, it's never one guy. One guy can't guard Jimmy Butler. So people are thinking that's just going to be on Aaron Gordon. When you got a guard like Jimmy Butler, it takes five guys defending as one. It starts in transition. He's one of the top players in the playoffs in terms of steals per game. That ignites their break. They, as a team, score over 19 points a game off turnovers they force. And Jimmy leads that charge. So eliminate the easy ones. The transition ones off turnovers. He gets to the foul line over 9 times a game, which is good for third in the playoffs. So you have to be really disciplined and staying down on shot fakes, giving him room to land, not letting him get to the free throw line 10, 12, 15 times a game, and just make him work for everything. I mean, we know he's a warrior, and you look at his body of work against Milwaukee in round one, New York in round two, and now Boston in the third round. It's going to be a challenge for every game that we play these guys, but I know this. We've been waiting so long. Our guys are tired of practicing. They can't wait for that jump ball to be thrown up and just to start competing at a high level once again.
Michael Malone talking about defending Jimmy Butler. Here's his counterpart, Eric Spoelstra, the head coach of the Miami Heat, talking about the challenge of defending two-time MVP Nikola Jokic, who's been playing just out of his mind this entire season and postseason.
It is a challenge because he's arguably the best player on the planet. He's big. He does things different than any other center in the league. He can play a rugged physical game, but he also can play a finesse game. He really can set other guys up, and then if he needs to score 50 in a playoff game, he has also proven that he can do that. So there is no quote-unquote stopper for a guy like that, but we're going to rely on our fundamentals and who we are. We just try to make it tough on everybody and anybody. Take guys a little bit out of their comfort zone, take away some of the easy things that they're accustomed to getting. But ultimately, it's going to come down to competition. Even if he plays a great game, we got to figure it out. He's going to bring a competitive spirit, and there are going to be games where he plays his A game and putting his fingerprints on it, and we still have to find a way to win the game at the end.
Crazy stat, as you heard Eric Spoelstra talking there, we talk so much about the two stars with Jokic and Butler for this series here in the NBA Finals, but you add in Jamal Murray to that category or to that list with Jokic, Murray, and Butler. They're all averaging, all three of them coming in, averaging 25 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists entering the finals. It's the first NBA Finals to feature three players averaging that stat line, 25, 5, and 5, and only the fourth to have opposing players do it. So impressive play here during this postseason run for both Denver and Miami. You have obviously 2-1 advantage there if you're counting up, the players with Jokic and Murray for the Nuggets and Jimmy Butler for Miami, but still pretty incredible to see that. The Nuggets are the heavy favorite looking at the betting odds here for tonight, at least for game one in particular. They are anywhere from an 8.5 to 9 point favorite. We talked about the series odds earlier in the week. Keeps getting higher and higher. The favorite favoritism, I guess, I don't know how to put it, but they are still the heavy favorite to win the series at most at all major sports books for Denver to take home the NBA crown. But one person who doesn't really care that they're considered the favorites is Nikola Jokic. I really like this response from Joker. Listen to what he had to say.
Who said that we are favorites? The media?
Las Vegas.
And Las Vegas told us that we are not. We were underdog before. That doesn't. It's not correct, I think. I mean, I think we are not the favorites. I think in the finals there is no favorites. This is going to be the hardest game of our life, and we know that, and we are prepared for that. We are preparing and prepare for that. So I think there is no favorites, and definitely I think we are not favorites in this series. I think they are not either. I think it's just the finals. You know, there is no favorites in the finals. My opinion.
Love that response from Joker. We're not the favorites. I don't think we're the favorites. There are no favorites. We're going to go out and try to play the game. They got to get four more wins. Each team does. First 1-4 takes the series. Denver certainly is favored by the quote-unquote experts out there, but definitely a path, I think, for the Heat. I think we all are in kind of agreement, though, that at least at this point we're picking the Nuggets to win the series. Are we doubting the Heat again? That's worked out so well for us throughout the entire playoffs, right? Oh, boy. 319-366-1600. Bam Adebayo. On the flip side, you heard Nikola Jokic talking about, okay, yeah, people might say we're the favorites, but I don't believe that really there are any favorites at this point. We're just going to go out and play, see who comes out on top in this series. Bam Adebayo asked as well, with a favorite comes an underdog, right? Heat are the underdogs in this series going up against the number one seed. Denver Nuggets, number one team out of the West, number eight seed out of the East, making the finals. Bam Adebayo talked about rising above kind of, you know, that noise you hear athletes talk about, rising above the doubters and trying to do their work to prove them wrong.
We've definitely had moments in this run where people thought we couldn't do it. People thought we weren't going to make this, we weren't going to do that. You know, when you got to trust in your 15, the coaching staff, and whoever's getting on that plane with you, when everybody believes and has a trust, I feel like you can do anything.
Bam Adebayo of the Miami Heat there. Game one is tonight of the NBA Finals. Got it for you. Got every game in the Finals, in fact, right here on all of our frequencies, 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 on the FM dial. We'll have coverage starting 1 hour before tip-off. Tonight's tip-off is 7:30. So that puts pregame time, at 6:30 tonight. You can catch it right here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. Got a little bit more basketball to get to. Some coaching news. The Detroit Pistons going all in on Monty Williams. I don't hate the hire for them, but is he worth the amount of money that they threw at him? We'll talk about that in 1 minute. Also, finally get to that that burner account story we briefly had time for yesterday involving an NBA official. Why he's under investigation for possibly a second Twitter account? It's on the way in 1 minute. You're listening to Spencer on Sports here at the gym.
Paid actor, not a real customer. Quote based on a healthy, non-smoking 44-year-old male with a 20-year term policy. Rates may vary.
Welcome to Ethos, a new kind of insurance company that believes life insurance should be hassle-free, affordable, and accessible for everyone.
For around a dollar a day, I got a 20-year, $250,000 term life insurance policy without a medical exam. All I had to do was answer a few health questions and snap. Family protected. It was quick and easy. Ethos is 100% online. I got a quote in seconds, applied in minutes, and got coverage in hours. Just answer a few health questions. No medical exam, no blood tests, no hassle. Look, nobody wants to plan for the unthinkable, but it would be so much worse to not plan at all. So don't put it off. It feels great having the peace of mind knowing that my family is protected.
Ethos, the 100% online hassle-free way to get affordable life insurance. Don't wait. Get your free online quote now at ethoslife.com. That's ethoslife.com.
Back at 2:39, Spencer at Sports with you for a Thursday afternoon. Gym class on the way between 3 and 4. Todd Brommelkamp show coming up between 4 and 6. Through at 936-6600. NBA coaching news to get to today. News, first this, for Celtics audience out there. I know there's a number of Celtics fans who listen to the show and kind of on the fence about their opinions on Joe Mazzulla, especially down the stretch of the Eastern Conference Finals. Celtics bowing out, did make it a series, got to Game 7, laid an egg in Game 7, but rebounded from the 3-0 hole that way, that they were in. And Joe Mazzulla will be back for next season in Boston. Brad Stevens saying that earlier today, that Mazzulla will remain head coach of the Celtics and is set to come back next year. Stevens saying, quote, he's a terrific leader. He'll only get better at anything that he can learn from this year because he's constantly trying to learn and he's accountable. Joe Mazzulla, of course, taking over when Ime Udoka was suspended for the season in September for those violations of team rules, reportedly having a relationship with an unidentified female staff member. Udoka was named the head coach of the Houston Rockets last month, and it sounds like the Celtics could be losing some assistant coaches to join Udoka's staff in Houston, but Joe Mazzulla will remain in Boston. The other coaching news, official, by the way, Iowa native Nick Nurse officially announced as the new head coach of the 76ers. So Nick Nurse stays within their division, moving from Toronto to Philadelphia and taking over Philadelphia. They moved on from Doc Rivers. But another vacancy has been filled. This came out last night. The Detroit Pistons signing Monty Williams, former Phoenix Suns coach, to be their new head coach over in Detroit. Williams set to sign a six-year, $72 million deal with the Pistons that could reach up to 8 years and $100 million with incentives. That's according to Sham Sharania from The Athletic. And Shams and both him and Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that Williams' deal is the largest for a head coach in NBA history. Now, Monty Williams is a decent coach. Turned Phoenix around. They got blown out in the playoffs last couple of years. Does that define, you know, you as a head coach? Not necessarily. They underachieved when they were a lot was expected of them. Of course, got to an NBA Finals, lost to the Bucks in 2021. For those of you who have forgotten. Had to get that in there, of course. Monty Williams heading to a Detroit team. It's got a lot of young talent. Cade Cunningham was hurt a lot of last year. Jaden Ivey is there. They've got some decent young talent. They're going to have a high draft pick. Wasn't as high as they had hoped for, obviously. So I think maybe the right coach for the right situation. But I think, and I'm not sure, Isaac, if you'd agree with me, you're setting yourself up for epic failure by throwing a giant bag of cash, 6 years, $72 million, could get up to $100 million. I mean, Monty Williams is a decent coach. I think he'd be a decent fit and will help Detroit, you know, maybe build their experience levels for their players and maybe get them back on somewhat of a winning track. But is he worth $72 million? I don't think so.
It's a lot of money and a long contract, too. It's either going to be a massive success or a massive failure.
Right.
I don't hate like going bold. I talked about that during the NFL draft. I like it when teams are aggressive and take big swings. But there is obviously the downside to it, where if it's a miss, it is a big miss, and it can set you back years, particularly with a young core where it could really, if it doesn't go well, you can really stunt their development and, you know, long-term hurt your team or your franchise. So
Pistons this year, 17-65, like we said. Like I mentioned, Cade Cunningham. My brain's on college football. I don't know. Cade McNamara played at Michigan. Maybe that's where I made the connection. Cade Cunningham was out for a good chunk of the year. Jaden Ivey did what he could, but the Pistons 17-65 on the season certainly will need to have a rather long leash, a lot of patience trying to turn around that squad in Detroit with Monty Williams. But I think they could have done worse with that hire. We'll see, though, with that contract. I think that's what causes a lot of pause there as well. Of course, the other opening that is still, or that has been filled, at least not officially yet, but it was reported last weekend, Milwaukee going with Adrian Griffin, top assistant for the Toronto Raptors. He is set to become the new head coach in Milwaukee. That leaves Phoenix and Toronto yet to be filled, and we'll see how those moves get filled. But Monty Williams will be leading the Detroit Pistons here in the near future, starting this year. Want to get to this story, and this is in the news today because Eric Lewis, who is under investigation by the NBA, he is, well, he could be. He's not fully yet, but he could be in some trouble for having a second Twitter account to defend himself and other officials from people who were mad about them online. You know, it's try to be a winner in a losing game. You know, go on Twitter, you see people complaining about the refs and this stuff and that stuff. And obviously, if you're on Twitter, you're a person who is involved with that type of industry or that line of work, maybe you want to come to their defense. But when you're an NBA official, especially when there are specific league rules saying you cannot talk about certain things as a member of the league, it's not necessarily the best look and not the right move. But as we talked about briefly yesterday, Eric Lewis allegedly has a second Twitter account under the name Blair Cutliffe, and this Twitter account is defending the officiating performances and has been seen defending the officiating performances of Lewis and others. A lot of backlash, it sounds like. I was reading through this report again from The Athletic. Lewis apparently is not well-liked in Laker Nation. He's drawn the ire of Lakers fans. I'm not a Lakers fan, so maybe I don't fully understand this, but he's been an enemy of Lakers fans on Twitter, and there have been instances, it sounds like, where this Blair Cutliffe, the Twitter account that is believed to belong to NBA referee Eric Lewis, is indeed replying to Lakers fans and trying to defend the calls and defend the actions. There were a couple other Twitter accounts, it sounds like, that came out within the last week that they're trying to figure out just what is going on. Why is this account explicitly defending Eric Lewis? This person is a really big fan of Eric Lewis. Why is that? And it turns out there are some allegations that this account belongs to Lewis himself and has been defending him from the criticism he's been facing, in particular with the Los Angeles Lakers. There are some now deleted tweets, it sounds like, that are part of this that were revealed by a couple of the Twitter users who've been championing this kind of this push to figure out who this person is. The league opened the investigation after those now deleted tweets were revealed, and they are looking into see whether Lewis violated NBA rules by talking about officiating in an unauthorized manner. And that is a big no-no in these circles. So what made it even more curious is after the tweets were discovered, then deleted, the Blair Cutliffe account was then deactivated. Wonder why that could be. Coincidence? Or is Eric Lewis, did he get caught? Still more to be determined, obviously, with this. But Lewis, news came out today. He was not selected as one of the 12 referees who will work the NBA Finals, which starts tonight. Scott Foster, of course, one of those referees. 9 of them, in fact, worked the title series last season between Golden State and Boston. Lewis had been chosen to work the finals in each of the past 4 seasons, and he will not be one of them while he is under investigation. Kind of really weird story. If you're not familiar with social media, you're probably like, well, what's the big deal? But you're not allowed to disparage your own industry. You could not create an account and reveal secrets. That's not a good thing, of secrets of the trade, insider info, and you're just not allowed to go on and talk about things freely that are not fit for public knowledge. So that is why Eric Lewis is in some trouble. See how that plays out. See if he does get in any trouble, because imagine the NBA would not take kindly to sharing industry secrets or things that maybe they're not secrets, but they're just kind of bad talking the profession, defending the profession. You don't want to see that. And that's kind of where the NBA is going as well. 319-366-1600 at 250. Quick 60-second timeout. Check out that baseball scoreboard and get a little bit more to wrap up the show here momentarily. It's Spencer at Sports in the Gym.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who pay attention to every little detail. The ones who fuss, tinker, and sweat the small stuff. Because you know the tiniest thing can make the biggest difference when it comes to keeping business moving. We get it. We're the same way, offering access to product experts to help you quickly and easily find what you need. So whatever your industry, you know you're always getting professional-grade products. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stay cool this summer with AC Pro and O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, get a $15 O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card after rebate plus 2x O Rewards points with the purchase of select AC Pro ready-to-use refrigerant products that include a hose and gauge. If your vehicle's AC is blowing hot air, beat the heat with AC Pro at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Back at 251, Spencer on Sports with you here for a few more minutes on a Thursday afternoon. 319-366-1600. Three finals in the books in Major League Baseball. The Brewers, they lose. Surprise, surprise. Bad first inning for Freddy Peralta, starting pitcher for Milwaukee. Gave up solo shot to Bo Bichette and a two-run shot to Matt Chapman. That was the damage done. Brewers lose 3-1 to the Toronto Blue Jays and lose that series. Brewers and Reds, the suddenly hot Cincinnati Reds. That was the ESPN Plus game of the night, watching Reds, Red Sox, kind of a weird experience. Thank you, MLB Blackout Rules. Couldn't watch team win last night. Another show, another time. You know my thoughts. I share many of your thoughts as well. Mets winner of the Phillies today, 4-2. Padres walk-off loser yesterday to the Marlins. They took out some frustrations today on Miami. 10-1, the Padres, with a win today. A couple of doubles and four RBI, make that for Fernando Tatis Jr. as the Padres improved to 26-30. Just underway, the Rockies and the Diamondbacks from Arizona. Reds and the Red Sox again tonight. Hunter Green facing off against Chris Sale there. Twins hosting the Guardians at 6:40 at Target Field. And then Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, and the Angels, after clobbering the White Sox yesterday, they head to Houston. Pretty important series in the American League West. The Astros chasing the Texas Rangers, three games back of the Rangers. Angels three games back of the Astros themselves. See if the Angels can make up some ground here on both the Rangers and the Astros this weekend as that series kicks off here tonight. That is a national TV game, if you're so inclined. FS1 will have that tonight. I mentioned some news here. Don't have a ton of time to get into this, but there is a hearing that's been ongoing here. First day yesterday of a hearing in federal bankruptcy court involving the parent company of Bally Sports. Probably familiar with them if you watch any of the 14 teams that are produced that have their broadcasts from Bally Sports, including teams like the Brewers, the Twins, the Cardinals, also the Royals are part of it, the Braves part of it as well. Well, Diamond Sports not doing well financially, and there could be some changes coming if Diamond Sports is not able to make the rights payments to the respective franchises. This hearing involved Diamond Sports with Major League Baseball present and representatives from four teams among the five, including San Diego, Texas, Cleveland, Arizona, and Minnesota, that are owed payments by Bally or by Diamond Sports to continue broadcasting their games. So what was news was that yesterday, the Padres became the latest team to have their broadcasts produced by Major League Baseball itself. That's after Diamond Sports Group, which again operates the Bally Regional Networks, missed a rights fee payment to the Padres. The Padres are employing the announcers for this. The game Wednesday in Miami was produced by Major League Baseball. And for Padres fans, it's good news because this means the games, at least through Sunday, are streamed for free. No blackout rules. Sounds like a good deal. Hey, I'm not saying I'm cheering for the downfall of Bally Sports or anything, but Major League Baseball takes hold of this. More opportunities for fans to watch, and I'm sure if there are Padres fans that maybe didn't have access before, maybe they were blacked out, or maybe they just couldn't see their games because of whatever rule, means that they now have an opportunity to watch their games, and that's not a bad thing, in my humble opinion. The league also saying, for the Padres specifically, they plan to make the games available on different streaming services, including some local cable systems as well. This could be, not saying it will be, but it could be maybe the next step in what a non-blacked-out MLB TV service looks like. We'll see how this plays out. But those hearings, by the way, are continuing here. It sounds like the rest of the week. So we'll see if anything comes of that going forward. But the Padres, latest team to have their broadcasts, I guess, freed by this non-payment of the rights fees. Like I said, we'll see how it plays out. That'll wrap up the show for today. Gym class up next. They've got Scott Docterman joining them just after 3:30. Todd Brommelkamp in between 4 and 6 as well. Have a great rest of the day.